Father, we give you the praise. We are looking up to you. We cannot be hopeless. We cannot be afraid. We cannot be ashamed. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. We worship you. We honor you. Thank you because you are searching someone out tonight. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a big shout of praise. And please be seated in the presence of God. Everyone here to this night service in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We're in the month of overflowing grace and glory for our liberty, our vitality, our health. And that is what we shall receive. The subject tonight is channels of divine health and healing. Channels of divine health and healing. 3 John verse 2. You say, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. It is very, very important for us to understand that it is the will of God for us to prosper and to be in health. Our objective for this study is to understand the various channels for accessing divine healing and health. What are the channels that exist to cause us to access divine healing and health? That includes liberty in cases of oppression, and several things that we need to access from God. It is important to understand this because we live in a world where afflictions and sicknesses are increasingly multiplying. The WHO, World Health Organization, came in around the middle 40s. And at the time that organization was formed to handle infirmities in the world, there were less than incurable diseases on the earth could be counted under these two fingers. That is, the number of diseases on earth that were classified incurable. If you put your fingers like this, it was less than the total amount. Today, the number of incurable diseases is almost numberless. Beyond that, almost on a, I don't know how frequently, new diseases keep coming. For example, before 1980, before the 80s, there was nothing called HIV/AIDS. It was classified in the year of, I believe, 1985. Before 1973 or the middle 70s, there was nothing called Ebola virus. Today we are hearing of all manna, and they just keep on exploding. The Bible says, as we approach the end of the day, the age, iniquity will abound, and the consequences of the same will abound. So it is important for us to know how to access divine health and healing. Above all, satanic activities seem to be multiplying at an alarming rate as we approach the end of the age. People who slept well and woke up sick because a demon gave them an injection in the dream, or they ate something in the dream, or they had something negative encounter in the dream. Yesterday we took the testimony of a woman who had a frog and a lizard entered her head in the dream. She woke up mad. And yesterday in the healing and deliverance service, the same frog and the same lizard walked out of her head under the climate of the presence of God, and she became well. So we have those kind of situations. Beyond that, we have the fear multiplied around the world, where somebody sees somebody afflicted with a particular kind of disease or affliction, and the fear of it grips them. I've seen families where the mother died of a particular cancer at the age of 45. Elder sister died of a particular kind of cancer at the age of 25. And this young girl was calling me at the same time because she was now 25. And the same symptoms were upon her. And as I was wondering, and the Lord ministered to me, that beyond the affliction itself, the spirit of fear was around that multiplied. So because of all of this, we must know how to access health and how to retain health. It's very, very important. Don't say I'm not sick. No. We must know how to access it and how to retain it. And so I'm going to look at some points today. There are so many, and we'll look at some of them today and then continue probably on Sunday or the next midweek service. So what are the channels of divine health and healing? Number one, storing the word in the heart. Storing the word in the heart of man gives access to health and healing. Storing, keeping the word in the heart. Summary is feeding on the word. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 to verse 22. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 to verse 22. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That is storing the word in the heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Store the word in your heart. In the middle of your busy schedule, find time for the word. Personal word study. Personal word reading. Personal word feeding. They are held unto their flesh. If you read the Living Bible version, and you read the Message Bible, and you also read the New International Version, the original one, you can place them on the screen if you have them. Rendering of Proverbs chapter 4. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Keep moving. The next verse. Those who discover this was live, they really live. Body and soul, they are bursting with health. Bursting with health. You need to wake up on that counsel tonight. Keep these thoughts ever in mind. Let them penetrate deep within your heart. For they will mean real life for you and radiant health. Radiant health. Radiant health. My son, okay, pay attention. Verse 20, do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life unto them that find them, those that find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Now, we can stop there. The word. The Acts of the Apostles fed on the word. They lived in health. The man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, fed on the word. He lived in strength up till the age of 86. He G.W. Kenyon fed on the word. Kenneth Gloria Copeland, they eat the word like you eat food. In their 80s, they are still very strong and very young. This is very important. Every time you remember to eat physical food, please remember to eat spiritual food. Very, very important. Storing the word. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible calls the word of God the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. The word of life is the word of health, is the word of strength. Very important. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of God is both prophylactic and therapeutic. Those are medical words. Meaning is, it's both preventive and curative. This is the difference between Daraprim and chloroquine. Women are given Daraprim during pregnancy to prevent the arrival of malaria. Malaria causes crisis in sickle cell anemia, so they give them Daraprim as well to ensure that the sickle cell anemia, the malaria does not arrive. But when malaria arrives, then they treat with chloroquine. The word of God will prevent the arrival and deal with it even if it arrives. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is preventive, it is curative. Very, very important. Preventive and curative. So we are dealing with storing the word of God. That is number one. Number two is hearing and receiving the sent word. Hearing and receiving the sent word. The first point deals with you studying the word, feeding on the word yourself. The second one deals with you sitting under the ministry of the word, receiving the word, connected to anointed teachings and preachings of the word, anointed instructions of the word. Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. The sent word carries healing power. It carries deliverance power. It carries therapeutic power. Luke chapter 5 and in verse 15 and then verse 17. But so much the more, when there a fame abroad of him and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. They came to hear first, and after they have heard, they are healed. They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In the teaching is the healing. The healing flows in the teaching. Is God speaking to someone here today? There are people who have come to this church and who have received healings and miracles and deliverances without anybody praying for them, because inside the teaching is the healing. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 17. In Luke 6 and in verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Someone here is getting healed. If you are the one, say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say the loud most, amen. This is talking about making yourself available for the ministration of the word, making yourself settled for the word, both the type you are hearing now and then on tape and videos and DVDs and MP3s. You lock up yourself for a day, two or three, You are trusting God for intervention in the area of the fruit of the womb. You get messages in that area. The devil is challenging your health. You connect yourself with divine healing messages. Messages that set your soul on fire. One day, a woman many years ago, this would be up to 20 years now. She couldn't sleep in the night because demons were moving in the house. All manner of noise inside the house. And I gave her a series of messages. And I said, play them loud and go to sleep. Let me see the devil that will remain in the room to listen to those messages. Hey! It didn't last 48 hours before the devil found their road to hell. Because what they were hearing was corrosive. It was lethal. It was the atmosphere changed. It was an anointing atmosphere. You see, they cannot. Everybody continues in a state of rest or of uniform motion until compelled by some external forces to act otherwise. The meaning is everything will continue until a higher force arrives. Situations will remain the same until a higher force arrives. I announce to someone here today, a higher force of the world is arriving and knocking out every affliction of your body. Knocking out every affliction of your life. You believe that? Shout the loudest. Amen. So we are talking of storing the word in the heart. We are talking of hearing the word. Number three is standing strong in faith. The strength of your faith affects the health of your life. It affects the health of your life. Standing strong in the faith. The scriptures made it clear that faith makes whole. Faith makes whole. Matthew chapter 9 verse 22. The woman with the blood issue. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Thy faith has made thee whole. Matthew chapter 15 verse 28. The Greek Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter that was grievously tormented. The one that says that the dogs eat from the under the table the crumbs. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Faith makes whole. Faith makes whole. In Mark chapter 5 verse 34, the same rendering of the woman with the issue of blood in the Mark version. He said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In this place, we saw how virtue left the body of Jesus. You see, I perceive that virtue hath left me because of the touch of faith. He spoke to blind Bartimaeus in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 52. Luke chapter 10 and in verse 52. And he said unto blind Bartimaeus. Was that Luke chapter 10 or Mark 10, 52? And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then finally, Luke chapter 17 and in verse 19, the 10 lepers that were cleansed and one returned back. Jesus said to that one that returned, and he said unto him, arise, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. What does faith do? Faith taps into the healing virtue of the master to achieve wholeness. It taps into the healing virtue. The release, when you release your faith, virtue is released from the master for the wholeness of your life. What is faith all about? Faith says, this is what God has said, and I stand on the word of God. Smith Wigglesworth had a challenge of faith. where one day he said, it's better for me to die believing God than to live doubting him. He had a confrontation of his health and he stood his ground until his healing manifested. Somebody say aloud, amen. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God said, I am healed. This lab result is not my result. A woman here went to the laboratory many, many years ago. She was pregnant and went for antenatal. I think that child should be about 20 years old now. The child of that pregnancy in the university now. And they said to her, routine antenatal checkup. And they said she was HIV positive. And she looked angrily at the laboratory attendant, laboratory scientist, and said, this cannot be my result. Can you give me my result? The laboratory scientist was very confused and very angry at the same time. Do you mean I don't know my work? He said, excuse me, sir. I said, this cannot be my result. Can you give me my result? The man was confused and went and searched and checked and truly realized that there was a mix-up or something, the name, the surname or something. So, one letter, something different from another person's result. She would have collected that result, and when it is accepted, it is established. When it is rejected, it is ejected. You know how you eject a thing from it? It's ejected. When it is accepted, it is established. When it is rejected, it is ejected. Somebody was very, very thirsty and went into the refrigerator. I believe it was in a laboratory or something. And carried water. Drank And you know when a man is thirsty, he drinks the water without looking back. It was after he had drunk substantially 1, 2, 3 that he realized that it was not tasting water. It was concentrated acid. That will be instant death, isn't it? And they told him, you just drank acid. He said, never. I can't drink acid. I just drank water. I can't drink acid. I just drank water. Because he must have realized that even if they drink deadly things, it shall not hurt them. That statement alone was enough to deacidify the acid. That is why he said the just shall live by his faith. In other words, the just can die without their faith. No, I refuse to die the way other people die in my family. I have a new family now. I belong to the family of God. I am connected to Jesus, my Savior, the sickless Savior. I can't be sick. Faith, very, very important. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody say amen at the top of your voice. I have come across infectious diseases. I have come across all manner of things that had the capacity to make you catch anything on the spot. And all the time, it died. So when somewhere everybody's eyes were red, they had caught allergic conjunctivitis, whatever. And before I knew it, I was trying to scratch me. I looked at that eye in the mirror. And I said, are you okay? Adjust yourself. You know, that thing has no respect at times. Before you know it, eye is scratching. All manner of infectious diseases, including the one that is just finishing or is it still ravaging in some places. You know, your faith has made the whole. John G. Lake was burying people who died of bubonic plague, was burying them with bare hand. People were highly clothed, they had a body armor, they had everything. He was burying them with his bare hands. John, this thing is highly contagious. He said, this thing can't live in my body. You know what he did? He took the foam from the mouth of the dead in his hand and asked them to put it under the microscope and confirm the living condition of the bacteria. Every single bacteria that encountered his hand was dead under the microscope. Every single one was dead. None was alive under the microscope. He quoted Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, sin and death is a law. And in Christ Jesus, there is a law of life. And the law of life is superior to the law of death. It's not unto you according to the inherited diseases of your family. It is unto you according to your faith. It is not unto you according to the epidemic in the environment. It is unto you according to your faith. It's not unto you according to a report that anybody gave. It is unto you according to your faith. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say the loudmost amen. I was speaking to a medical professor some time ago. He came to my office and he asked me to pray for him. He had a sickness, an affliction in his line of specialty. Hello? It's as if an ophthalmologist had glaucoma and is about to run blind and so on. So he had that affliction in the area of his specialty. Prof, examiner, postgraduate examiner. He examines other big doctors to become big doctors, to become consultants. So I said, have you checked yourself? He said, I don't want them to tell me anything I don't want to hear. It's himself. He said, I don't want anybody to tell me what I don't want to hear. I said, you are in order. You are in order. So we can talk now. That is the Baban doctor himself. Baban Likita. I don't want anybody to tell me what I don't want. I said, is that how you operate? Said, that's how I operate since. So I don't want to go and check any symptom, anything. We prayed, he died. Let it be unto you, is unto you according to your faith. So that is number what now? That's channel number what? Standing strong in faith. Number four is the prayer of faith of leaders. The prayer of faith from leaders in the church. It is a scriptural access way, the prayer of faith from leaders in the church. James chapter 5 verse 14 and verse 15. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this is it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith from the elders, from the leaders in the church. The leaders in the church praying the prayer of faith over a loved one is key to healing. But for this to produce results, people must believe in and be subject to spiritual authority. You believe in and you are subject to spiritual authority. That's the basis why the home cell leader and the team of other home cell people will pray on a member that is sick and they get healed. It's a delegated authority. A head of department, a deacon, an elder, a pastor praying the prayer of faith for the sick. But you must believe in spiritual authority. There are those who don't have any value for spiritual authority. There's no counsel you give them that they listen to. This cannot work for them. Somebody say amen. I was president of the Medical Students Fellowship. It was called the Nigerian Conference of Christian Medical Students, the university chapter, and then the national chapter after that. And in that capacity, I functioned like an elder, a leader, a pastor over the brethren. And I saw a lot of experiences in this regard. One of my classmates, 500 level medical student then, was having ulcer that was like peptic ulcer disease that was like just the highest point of it. He was on the highest drug, the ranitidine, the cimetidine, and all the things. It was as if he needed a surgery done, a vagotomy done, so that he can have relief. That is, sever the knife. And he was writhing in pain. One day I went to his room, and I saw him lying on the bed, folded with pain. What's going on? And he told me. I remember this scripture. If anybody sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on him, anoint him with oil, pray over him, and the prayer of faith. So I laid hands and I say, you foul tormenting demon of ulcer, get out in Jesus' name, be healed. He jumped up on the spot the way you turn on light. And you don't wait for the light bulb to come on. The moment you press the switch, that moment it comes. That was exactly how he jumped on his feet. Healed of peptic ulcer for as long as I remember. This is many, many, many years, almost 30 years now. And I've not heard a story of ulcer from that same quarter. Am I communicating at all? Now, it works over and over and over again. We have seen it in different dimensions and different corners. And it works. I was a student in 500 level when one of my classmates brought her sister from the village. I'm telling you this story so that if you are a student, you can assure yourself that it's not too early to do exploits. Brought one of her sisters from the village. This girl was the product of a woman looking for the fruit of the womb and went everywhere to native doctors and everywhere. And one of the places they went, the water's priestess told her that she was going to have two children and gave her the names she should call the children when they were born. But that when the children came of age, they will return them. That is, they will die. And the woman agreed that, well, it's better to have children. Let it be said that I have children at least. So two were born, one boy, one girl. The boy grew up when he was of age. He died. The second one was growing up before she could become of that age. She gave her life to Christ. And then, when they found it difficult to take her, it became one affliction and one oppression after another. She passed through terrible torment. She would sit with her eyes open. She would see people walking into her room without legs. All manner of terrible affliction. Some with horse leg. One day her sister bought her. She was in psychiatry hospital because they couldn't diagnose what was wrong with her. Abdominal conditions that couldn't be diagnosed. They operated her until there was no place. I mean, the abdomen was just so gone. You know? And one day she told her sister, can you help me buy coke? An unclean spirit answered, we can give you coke if you want. She told them, I don't need your coke. Her sister bought coke, brought it, opened the coke, and unseen hand carried the coke. Turned the coke upside down without coke cover. And yet not a drop of coke came down. African scientist. She's run jazz. So they ran her straight. Say, come, let's go to Abuja, to Jaws, meet my classmate. They brought her in. Rachel was her name. Hands were laid on her. Under 30 minutes, all those demons cleared out. All of them. All of them. Not one was left. She returned back. Next time I was home, I was already a medical doctor. Went to a clinic and I saw her walking. Are you not the one? Yes, I am the one. How are you? Fine. How about those things? They went since. What's happening now? I am married. What else? Here is my son. Hey! Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. I announce to somebody here today, in the name of Jesus, every satanic yoke and torment and affliction on your life and on your head, today it is broken. Shout the loudest, amen. You are receiving your liberty. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Wow, time is gone. That's a prayer of faith. Number 5 is anointing with oil. Call the mystery of the anointing oil. We just read that. If any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Praying over him. Anointing him with oil. James chapter 5 verse 14 to 15. So it's not an Old Testament mystery. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So there is the combination of the prayer of faith here and anointing with oil. In Mark chapter 6 verse 7. Jesus Christ sent his, he called unto him the 12. And he began to send them forth by two and two. And give them power over unclean spirits. Now jump to verse 12 all the way to verse 13. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And healed them. And healed them. The anointing oil communicates the virtues of the Spirit. 1 Samuel 16 verse 13. He said, and Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. So the Spirit of God and the virtues of the Spirit, including the healing virtue, is communicated via the anointing oil. One of the testimonies here tonight corroborates this. When someone came, I think the child was mad or dead. The man who handed the anointing oil to somebody. Mad. And the oil was applied. And the boy slept. Woke up suddenly and said, what's wrong with me? Where am I? The same with his wife. Already unconscious. Dropped the oil in the mouth. And here she was. Out. The anointing oil. Smith-Wiggles, what I heard, had a special pocket in his suit pocket for the bottle of the anointing oil. It just remained there for himself and for any other. The mystery of the anointing oil is one of the mysteries that God has given for the transfer of healing virtue. This is not Old Testament, it's New Testament. We just read Mark and we also just read James. It's right there. It is valid till today, till tomorrow. Anointing with oil. And where necessary, a shot. If what is affecting you is not outside but inside, it's possible to take a shot and then sweep the system and flush it out. Somebody say aloud, amen. Number 6 is the Passover mystery, which is the communion table. The Passover mystery. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were going to come out of the land of Egypt, They took the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, Moses spoke to them. He said, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It is the Lord's Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, after these people ate this Passover, we began to understand certain mysteries about them. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4, you read something that is very strange. He said their raiment, their cloth did not get old on them, and their feet did not swell for 40 years. Their feet did not swell. Their cloth did not grow old. Apart from the fact that they were enveloped in the cloud of glory, they ate something. They ate something before they left Egypt that sustained them through 40 years in the wilderness. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21, we see also the Nehemiah corroborated. Say, yeah, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness. So they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. No swollen feet for 40 years. Psalm 105, verse 37. Now, made it clearer. He said, "He brought them forth with silver and gold, and he also brought them forth such that there was not one feeble person among their tribes. There was not one weak person. There was not one sick person. As they were coming out of Egypt, no one was weakly or sickly among them." What was it? They ate something. They ate something. That they ate something. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, "Man ate angels' food." They ate something. Now, if you proceed, you will understand what they ate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible said that Christ is our Passover. So, what they ate was the shadow of the communion. It was the type of the communion. The kind that Elijah ate. And the angel told him, "Eat and drink, for the journey is far ahead of you." I think that will be 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, thereabout. The journey is far ahead of you. Can you start from verse 8? Okay, verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat, what he ate and what he drank." Another type and shadow of the communion. "And he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. Energy, strength, vitality, without eating any other thing, came upon him." But the Bible said, Christ is our Passover. The communion is the type of that food. Matthew 26, verse 19, and then verse 26 to 28. "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it," the same Passover now, "and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So, the Passover that gave them such strength and health in the wilderness, the equivalent of it is what we are going to eat tonight, called the communion. Now look at that in John chapter 6, verse 56 and 57. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Hey! "Even he shall live by me." Even he shall live by me. That was the secret of the early church. They ate it as frequently as possible. 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26, Paul the apostle admonished them. He said, as often, now, 23 to 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And then, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as often as you drink it, you do it in remembrance of me. So it is to be taken as often as possible. As often as possible. I have prayed for some sick people before, and I said, take the communion daily. I have prayed for other sick people before, and I said, take it 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, evening. Just keep taking it for as long as there is the need for your health to be restored. Smitugusa took the communion daily. In our house, we made it a rule to have the communion. Communion in the fridge, communion in the bathroom, communion everywhere. So anywhere you catch it, eat it. Hallelujah! 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 Now, the truth is that it should be eaten revelationally, not religiously. There must be. That is the aspect of what you are hearing now. The revelation and the understanding that this is not something. Our children, when they were little, some of them, when it was communion time, they would rush for the communion. For the chopping of it, we understood it for them, but it's okay, just give me my communion. Give me my communion. Nominion. N-Y-O. N-Y-O-M-I. Nominion. Give me my nominion. Let's just be jumping and jumping. It's nominion time. Without knowing this. Hallelujah. We understood it for them, and the Lord understands that we understood it for them. You take it revelationally. Masha koko bagatakalaka. I am taking the very life of Christ. Everything that Christ died to purchase for me, I am taking it now. You take it to break ancestral curses. You take it to dissolve generational curses. You take it to reject every spell from hell. And any blood sacrifice working against your life can be unworked by that power of the communion. In the name that is above every name, I prophesy to everyone here and everyone watching via the television on the satellite. I decree today blessings upon that communion. I decree everyone sick in body tonight, by the release of this mystery, that sickness is cleared out. In Jesus' precious name. Finally, for tonight, because we have so many. I thought, when I began to prepare the message, and I saw how each point was going, I realized we can't finish all in one day. So we'll stop at point number 7 today and continue the next time. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. One of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is called the gifts of healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing is one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that is given to people according to how God wants it. Acts chapter 12, verse 29 to verse 30. Did I say Acts? No. The same 1 Corinthians 12, 29 to 30. The same 1 Corinthians 12, 29 to 30. He said, are all apostles? Do all work miracles? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, this aspect confuses a lot of people. He's talking about that particular gift of the Holy Ghost that is called the gifts of diversities of tongues, not the prayer tongue. The prayer tongue is everybody's gift. But the gift of diverse tongues with interpretation is not everybody's gift. The same like the gifts of healing. Am I communicating? So, these gifts of healing is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given for the helping of the church and also the benefit of the world. By the mercies of God, you all know that this gift is right where you are. When this gift is in operation, a healing climate is created. A healing environment is created that makes healings to take place effortlessly. The master operated in that realm. Luke chapter 6 verse 19. Where virtue went out of him. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. The whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Peter walked in this very abundantly. Acts chapter 5 verse 14 to 15. Acts chapter 5 verse 14 to 15. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one of them. It's a situation where, like Oral Roberts says of the healing revival, healing is in the air. It's like you are literally breathing it. It's like you can touch it. I traveled to Makurdi some time ago. It would be up to 17 years ago. The driver that went with me was sick. I didn't know. I was lying on the couch. He was lying in front of me on the rug, just relaxing in the afternoon, not sleeping. And then he said he turned his hand like this, stretching, and he touched my leg. Bam! Electricity entered his body. And whatever was in him ran out. Later on he told me. He said, this was what was wrong with me and you didn't know. Man and his wife were telling me the other day, their daughter came to see me and was going to school. I greeted all of them. She said that her encounter with me, the husband, the child, she had a lower back condition. It was when they reached the airport that she realized it disappeared. He was carrying the luggage of the daughter, and the daughter said, are you carrying luggage? She said, yes. It was at that point she realized that the lower back situation had gone. I was at the Ibadan airport, went to Ibadan for a program. Young lady ran to me and said, Pastor, can you bless me? I said, you are blessed. She said, amen. She went and returned back and said, something just happened. He said, I had pelvic fracture. It just got adjusted. I was at the Lagos airport and I saw a man with a neck collar. I said, can I assist you remove that thing? I am anointed to remove it. The man said, yes, sir. It was removed. He turned his neck, moved it up and down, and walked away like a gentleman. We're on the road in Garki area driving, and I saw a man on crutches on the road. Driver park. I walked to the man and said, can I assist you with the crutches? Yeah. He was separated from the crutches and walked away like a gentleman. It's not of him that will let or run it. It's of God that showeth mercy. No man taketh this honor upon himself except he that is called. Whenever you are in such a climate, take advantage of it. Stretch your faith. Connect it. Touch it. People at distances around the world, get this even from the airwaves. You are here in person. You are here in person. You cannot be left behind. He gave these gifts to the church so that the members of the body of Christ, any avenue possible, if you couldn't be healed by the word you ate, if you couldn't be healed by the whatever, there is, and we have not, we are just about halfway. This point number 7 is just about halfway. We are still going. So that whatever happens, the devil cannot hold you to ransom. God has ordained that we don't just live long, we live good. Say, he died in good old age. So there is bad old age. You know bad old age? Somebody is poo-pooing on themselves while they are still alive. Somebody has become a burden while they are still alive. Bad old age. You will fulfill your days. There are only two counsels I'm going to give. In all of, please take your seat, two things, and then we pray. In all of these, two channels. Counsel number one. Let the word of God undergird. Say it the other way. Let the word of God remain the central, remain central to all the channels of healing. Let it remain central. Whether you are trusting God to be healed, well, by the word, that's word, by faith. Faith of the leaders, prayer of faith, anointing with oil, the communion, whatever it is. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Let the word of God remain foundational, remain central. The reason is, whatever does not have the foundation of the word does not have a future. You get healed by the gift of healing, for example. You need faith, your faith, to keep that healing going and to keep the devil out. You can take the horse to the river, but you can't make it drink water if he's not convinced. Hallelujah. So it's important. For the word of God, the word that you know. And then number two, faith must absolutely be placed in God and not in a man or a channel of healing. Faith must absolutely be placed in God and not in a man or in a channel of healing. For example, the man that is the instrument of the gift of healing. Or the bottle of oil. The faith is not in the bottle of oil. The faith is in the God who gave us instruction about the oil. The faith is not in the communion. The faith is in the one whose body the communion represents. Am I communicating? We'll be talking about other channels later. The faith is not in the objects, in the channels, in the human vessels. The faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is in God, not in the things. When you place your faith in the bottle of oil, that oil has become to you like charm or talisman. When you place your oil in the handkerchief, that handkerchief has become to you like a native doctor's amulet or whatever it is. The faith must be in the God who gave the instruction for our faith to be placed in it. Somebody say a loud amen. It's a new day for somebody. Whatever trace of affliction came here with you can never live here with you. I see healing happening right now. Did you receive something? I omitted telling you that the gifts of healing, healing is called gifts of healing. It is the only plural gift. Because we have the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, but gifts of healing. That connotes that healing is multifaceted in operation. We have seen crusades where the major healing that happened was blind eyes. Another one, crutches. Another one, deaf ears. Also, we are fully aware, especially in the days of the healing revival, the people operated diversely. There were some who were more rugged in wheelchairs. Some were more rugged in blind eyes. Some were more rugged even in deliverances. So it's a plurality of giving, of gifting. But the mercy of God has given us grace to see diversely in the place where we are. And I believe it's a new day for us. Somebody say a loud amen. Are you blessed tonight? Stand up on your feet and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and worship him. Go ahead and thank him for his word to you tonight. Worship him. Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Father, thank you for tonight. Father, thank you for tonight. Father, thank you for tonight. Elion, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Mekadesh, thank you. We worship you. Lift your hands high. And say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word to me tonight. Lord, from your hand, I receive my heritage of healing. I receive my heritage of divine health. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. From your hands, I receive. I receive my heritage of healing tonight. I receive my heritage of health tonight. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and let's make intervention, make demands for divine healing virtue to flow throughout this commission. Everybody connected, related, associated with this house, may the virtue flow and reach them. Wherever they are, whether they are here, and everybody connected to any relation of this commission, we declare their healing and wholeness right now. Lift your voice and say, Father, we ask that the healing rivers will flow to everyone connected, related, associated to this commission. We ask that virtue, healing will flow to everywhere they are. Right now, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Thank you.
is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
Healing rain is falling down.
Healing rain is falling down. I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed.
Healing rain is falling down.
Healing rain is falling down.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down.
I'm not ashamed.
Lift up your hands and just worship.
God has a package for someone here tonight.
Just begin to tell him, I receive it. Begin to receive it. Open your mouth and pray. up your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, lift those hands high. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. The burning Gilead is here. Great physician. Clearing out afflictions. Clearing out pains. Lift your hands high. The name of the healer is Jesus. Can you whisper that name? Lift your hands high. I see angelic spirits here. Healing spirits, healing surgeons, healing technicians. Doing all manner of surgeries and things in the bodies of people. Removing things that are not even medical, the things that are spiritual. Out of bodies, encounters, interventions. Working on the genetics of people. Sickle cell anemia, sickle cell disease, clearing out like fire. HIV, hepatitis, blood level situations. Ancestral causes, inherited afflictions. Working on the eyes and working, yes, that's right. Clarity of the eyes, working on the eyes, working on the ears. Working on the womb of women for the fruit of the womb. Working on the ovaries, the fallopian tubes. Working on the spermatic duct, the vast difference and the testicular system of the men that are plagued with the spirit of impotence. Divine intervention, healings, deliverances, angelic visitations, spiritual surgeons. Lift your hands high. And in the name of Jesus, at the count of three, you scream, I receive. And receive the touch of his power. Receive his healing. Receive his visitation. Receive. Receive the surgery. Receive the turnaround. At the count of three, you scream, I receive. Father, let it be released. In the name of Jesus. One, two. Again, at the count of three, you place your hand on your head and scream, I receive. Something is happening to you right now. In the name of Jesus, one, two, and three. I receive. 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 Master for hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands and wave it to the King of Kings. Something happened tonight. God touched you, healed you, delivered you, gave you an encounter, a visitation, a surgery. Quickly step forward and let us know what happened to you. Quickly. I'm satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied in Him. My faith in Him will never fail. I'm satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied. That there are those here tonight who are saying, Pastor, I want to make my sins, have my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want today to mark a new day for me. Pick your Bibles and bags and come forward. Let's pray for you. Somebody's left eye was healed. Another person's right eye was healed. Somebody's leg on the right hand side has demonic things moving up and down and is returned back to hell right now. Somebody's liver condition has just been healed. Whatever the liver condition is, if you are in that category mentioned and you are not yet out, you can come out now. Everyone here today. All right. Just begin the testimonies as sharp as you can.
Sir, our brother said he was diagnosed with peptic ulcer for the past 9 years. He had lived with it. Terrible pains, had to live on drugs. Even today he had to take his drugs. Came into the service in terrible pains. But after that word was declared, he said he felt a cold sensation from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and the pain is totally gone.
You are mighty, dear Lord. You are mighty, dear Lord. Jehovah, you are mighty. Father, you are mighty. Jesus, you are mighty.
This is Sister Faith. She said, for the past 10 years, she sees a woman tormenting her, and that has left her with seizures. But at a shout of I received, that woman came out of her.
The woman walked out of her.
Walked out of her and seizure.
For 9 years.
For 10 years.
Epileptic seizure.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
And that devil just left.
Walked out
every demonic presence in your life that came here with you, back to hell. In the name of Jesus.
Our sister also said she came here with ulcer that has lasted for the past 10 years. Ulcer also took off at the shout of I receive.
Lift up your hands. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We honor you. We adore you. All right. Those who are intending to... Are those still healings? Healings? Father, we give you the praise and the honor. All right, let the communion stewards quickly step forward and let the communion be distributed. Just to save the time. Go ahead and receive the communion. Don't take it here, just hold it. If they are still taking the testimonies, you don't take them back. If there's any testimony we need to take, usher, don't drive them back.
You are mighty, mighty, you are mighty. Jehovah, you are mighty. You are mighty, Lord, you are mighty, mighty.
The doctor told me that he had acute abdomen 6 years ago and was operated upon. And after then, it's been one complication after another. Baba said he couldn't walk into the service today. On their way, actually, he vomited thrice in the vehicle. They brought him in that state into the service, pains all over. But in the midst of the ministration, the doctor said he got up. She actually aided him into service. He stood up all by himself and walked out, and he's strong doing what.
Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Your healing is permanent and perfected in Jesus' name. As you place your hand on the head. Abba is assisting me to lay hand on his head. He's assisting me to lay hand on his head. It's permanent in Jesus' name. Sir.
This is the second time I come here.
It's okay. What we are seeing now. I'm the one touching you now.
You are grateful.
Your healing is permanent in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You can return back now. We'll hear more testimony. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. You have received the communion tonight, but you are not in a position to take if your life is not right with God. You want your sins forgiven? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life? You are saying, Pastor, today, I want today to become the new day in my life. Stand up on your feet. Come with your Bibles and bags. Come with your communion that you have already received. And come forward here very quickly. I'll give you the count of seven. God bless you, sir. Quickly come forward. Be the first to come. And not the last one.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Two.
I give you my soul.
Moment I'm away. tobacco smoking, alcoholism, womanizing, masturbation, prostitution, any lifestyle that is not of God, and you want to be free of it, quickly rush to the front and let us pray for you. I'll give you the count of five for that one. No more smoking. I'm no more drinking hemp. I'm no more night clubbing. I want to be free. No more gambling. No more betting. I want to be free. Quickly rush forward here. One.
Goodbye world. Stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin. Stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
I've made up my mind
to go God's way the rest of my life.
Frontier and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray for you right now. I declare the hold of sin broken and the grace to live for you be released upon you. I call it done. In Jesus' name, God bless you.